Yo, what's the deal, baby? This your boy, Uncle Luke, formerly of the 2 Live Crew. You are listening to Pass It Down with Mike Silver and Natalie Silver. Natalie is the most beautiful young lady in this deal right here. Mike doesn't look so good, even though they're dad and daughter. It's the big show, baby.
Well, this is a very, very big moment for us, Natalie. Very recently, we learned officially that what we humbly believe is the best show on sports television, if not all television, The Aftermath is back for another season. And I have host Rhett Lewis.
What's up, Mike?
There he is. I have original OG, fellow OG from The Aftermath, Steve Weiss. And we do not yet have Daniel Jeremiah. He is probably preoccupied by the San Diego Padres, his pride and joy.
He's breaking down film from the sophomore year of players in North Dakota State.
We're getting a little Trey Lance. Okay. All right.
There you go.
All right.
Is that the guy who's going to play one game this year?
That is.
Check this out, Natalie. There's this pro prospect on North Dakota State, which is like same level as UC Davis, you know, and they don't have a season because they're not in one of the big time conferences, but they're going to play one game. That's the plan against one team.
If it's Cal will definitely choke and lose.
What?
This is not just from
coming in with the bazooka, coming in with the scud missile out of the gate.
And this is not just from like a childhood of misery. She actually went to Cal and then worked for Cal football. So she knows on a very point.
Can I just say one quick thing, Mike? If for all of you at home had the first mention of Cal on this podcast as a negative mention, you guys win $1 million because that was not on my list.
While we have these guys, I think we should. This is a great time without DJ here to ask about the origin of The Aftermath, because I was not there. I guessed it a couple of times early on. But guys, why don't you take us back and describe what would be the greatest show ever was launched?
Well, Steve, let me start by asking you, because I don't know that we've ever gone there, but The Aftermath existed in some form or fashion. I know before I jumped in, which was, I think, week 6 of the 2014 season. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think about who came up with the thought, but we wanted to find a way to get Brian Baldinger and the clicker and the film cut-ups on there. I'm like, we need to have like kind of a playbook / reporter's notebook type of show. And so they've got Baldy on there, and they had Nate Burleson, right? This is when Nate lived out west, and you know, it was clear he was going to be a superstar.
Yep.
So his personality was great.
Well, it wasn't clear that he was going to be a superstar until we made him the superstar.
Until we made him.
Got that, Nate?
Yes. Until we made Nate who he is, he's forgotten about us. You know, the toe drag swag started on The Aftermath.
That's right.
You know. Is that right? The term toe drag? Oh, yes. So now that Nate's a big star who's on CBS, Extra, and Good Morning Football.
Correct.
But aren't you guys big stars too? I mean, it's The Aftermath.
Great
Doesn't
question,
everyone
Natalie.
Know about it?
Great question. Unfortunately, there is no promo.
No promo. Hashtag no promo. Natalie, we're big stars. We're big stars in the way at the NFL Network, especially considering the people who talk about franchising the big shows at the network. We're big stars in the universe of like how Cal is like a big star in Berkeley.
Yeah.
So as long as our pond is like parameter that basically starts and ends with The Aftermath, we're the biggest stars in the galaxy.
There you
speaking
go.
Speaking of big stars, I think DJ might be on now. Hey!
I'm trying to figure out. I got to get my AirPods connected here. Hold on. Give me one second.
We'll figure it out. While he's figuring it out, Mike, so this is basically how it went. You know, Steve and I and Baldy and Nate started the show like week six of the 2014 season. We went all through the playoffs. Was it the next year that we went dark? I believe it was, Steve, right? The Aftermath didn't come back the next year. And then
it didn't come back, but then it came back in some form. Right.
Well, and then we rose from the ashes in 2017 with Mike Silver. Correct, Mike? That was
yes,
your first year, right?
That was very exciting, and I think that was the Eat the W year, which we
we got the Rhett. We hit Cal and Eat the W in the first 5 minutes and 15 seconds of this podcast.
So and then we got DJ the next year. The next year, and
this was part of the crew.
Yeah, we had Heath Evans with us, and then we had DJ, and I want to say this too. Last year, we weren't thrilled. Around this time last year, a little before, we found out something that proved to actually put us ahead of the game. We were the original social distancing NFL show.
That's right. We all came from different locations. Steve and I were the only ones in the studio, and thankfully, you know, you, Mike, and DJ had home cams. And you know, the one thing that that bugged me about it is that we didn't get to, you know, we didn't get to collaborate in person. You know, DJ and I would often spend the mornings, you know, 5:30 on, just looking at tape and finding stuff that we wanted to talk about in the show. And so, without that kind of in-person collaboration, we kind of just had to figure out a different way to do it. And look, I mean, we added an hour and took away all of our in-person communication this last year. And I didn't think the show really suffered. We still got a lot of great content out there. And, you know, as you guys know, the premise of the show is how and why. You know, everything happened on Sunday. And, you know, DJ gives us the tape. Steve and Mike, you know, you guys give us great insight and insider access. And, you know, for that, we're really unlike any show that's out there.
And basically, we just try and spend the 3 hours overcoming the host. And that's something that...
I remember Rhett wrote, like, we had a conference call instead of our normal meeting, and we went through the whole show, and then Rhett sent this long, long email afterwards that he did himself detailing how every segment was going to go, every tee up, and I can't remember who it was. It might have been a week that somebody was off, and it was a guest, but I just remember someone going, "Oh yeah, I didn't open that," or like, so, yeah, like Rhett sent this long email and no one read it.
Yeah. So thanks, DJ.
Thank you, though.
I'm glad you guys are able to persevere.
I also felt really bad because I thought one of the great things is that we talk over highlights, and that's doable when you're all four at a literal round table and you can pick up on you know, visual cues as to who's going to not step on one another. And I tried it a couple times, and I realized that every time I did it, it was putting Rhett in the worst position ever because he didn't know. And Steve, I remember one time that I think you and I both tried to say something three times in a row, and you know, you'd stand down, I'd stand down, and like after the third time in a row, you and I just both started laughing on the air. We were like, "Okay, this is awesome."
And so many people saw it, right?
Hey,
is that a shot? Is that a shot?
I'll have you know that our ratings are actually really good.
Please inform your listeners to exactly where we rate on Mondays. We don't have to name the other shows that we outrate. shows that are never threatened to be canceled, but yes, we do outrate.
Per production staff allotment, we are the highest rated show in the history of NFL Network.
You guys, is Mike Silver the loudest person you've ever been around?
You think about that. I would say, you know, like college cheerleader would be pretty loud, but I would say
with the mega
in a professional environment, that's probably a safe bet. By the way, can I tell on myself real quick here? As I was late and I was scrambling, I was out like just watering the yard, and I'm like, "Oh crap, I got to do this podcast." I come running back in. I'm trying to get my Bluetooth hooked up, And I have on my phone, I have music going back to like the Napster days, like all the way back in college. So I'm trying to hook up my Bluetooth and the song will not stop blaring. And it's Edwin McCain, I Could Not Ask for More. And I promise you, that's the first time anybody's listened to that song in the last 20 years. I guarantee it.
I think you could still get sued for that music, by the way.
who knew there'd be a Napster reference like 10 minutes in? That's
how great was Napster, by the way? Silver, you're probably a little old for that.
No, like, I didn't believe in college. I literally, I used to argue with people, like, you know, the people younger than I would say, it's great. And I'd be like, yeah, but it's stealing. And they'd be like, no, you don't get the internet. And
it's stealing.
I give money. I throw a quarter in the guitar player's case when he plays, you know, for me. I'm like, and then I remember one time I was like in an argument at a party and I said, like, why don't they just create a service where you give the record companies
God, are you saying that you came up with Spotify?
I came up with iTunes. I was like, why don't they just have a service where, like, the record companies get a cut, they pool it, and you give, like, a dollar per song? And then, unfortunately, I didn't, like, call up, you know, Steve Jobs and, you know, make that happen.
Hey, right. Mike Silver also created a t-shirt when Napster came out saying, Eddie Vedder's going to kick your ass if this keeps on going on.
Okay, so Dad, all three of our guests played football in college. So my question for you all is, which of the four of you had the most distinguished college football career? Dad, do you want to start?
Yeah. Well, we know who's fourth. And I will tell you guys that my friends and I started a tradition that lives on our freshman year. The day before the Cal Stanford game, we played the little game, which is tackle optional, miniature football, beers in the huddle sometimes, and traditional rivalries formed. And I had a sack once in a while. So I'm going to say that I'm in fourth, and we'll let the actual players now get it.
Well, I'm third. I'm third because I never played the game.
First of all, Natalie's ahead of you, Silver, so I think you got to go fifth on this.
Yeah, if Natalie counts, I'm definitely fifth.
I mean, technically, DJ for sure had the most accomplished pro.
Yeah, DJ, absolutely.
But that was at like an FCS level, or like was it even D2 at the time? Age? What were we talking about here?
I can just say this.
First of all, I can't say anything to Weiss because we had a good year and he took our coach. So I can't talk any crap about Missouri because that Steve spent time there and they took our coach. But I will say that if you look at the standings at the end of the year last year, Indiana and Cal would need some binoculars to see how far ahead of them.
we had like our greatest years ever, Indiana and Cal. So wait, so DJ, when you were at Appalachian State, did you guys play one game seasons or did you actually play the full season?
More than Cal this year, right?
That is true. We will play zero, and North Dakota State will play one. We reference.
I have
that
a great idea, by the way, for this because, like, one of the things you're talking about. So, North Dakota State, for those that don't know, they have a quarterback who's a big time player. He's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft. But his North Dakota State, they lost their season, but they still wanted to give this Trey Lance, the quarterback, a chance to play. So they can only schedule – they have a one-game season. They're playing Central Arkansas in a one-game season. So it's like a showcase. So my idea, and I think we could help pull this off, is to recreate like Rocky IV, the Drago versus Apollo. It was supposed to be an exhibition scene where we have some James Brown music playing as they come out. And then all of a sudden – and then it gets real chippy, and all of a sudden you just have Trey Lance – you know, mic'd up, just screaming, this was supposed to be an exhibition. And then we just go from there.
I think that's a perfect way to achieve that. But is it in Fargo, DJ? Do you know, or is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Where's the game played?
I'm actually trying to go.
Why don't we have to go?
We should do the show from there.
Yes.
There it is.
They will totally send us all to Fargo. That's like 100%.
Have you guys been to Fargo?
No.
I hear it's great. My mother's there all the time. She used to go there all the time for work. It's supposed to be a great little town.
It's the best part about it is you can go like 100 miles an hour and they just wave at you. Like it's wide open spaces, man. My old scouting days, I would like look at the, like you would have to like print out like MapQuest back then. And it'd be like, it's going to take you to get from Fargo to Sioux Falls. It's going to take you X amount of time. I like would cut it in half. I'm like, dude, there's a cop. And he just like waves at you. I'm like, I'm certain I'm going 30 miles an hour over the speed limit.
I don't know if he'd wave it. I don't know if he'd wave at Steve, though.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, DJ, I'm doing 55, brother. I'm doing 55.
Yeah, Steve, you can roll with me.
Now you get pulled over, too.
And for you listeners, Steve might have a different complexion that, you know, you never know what would happen in that situation in North Dakota.
But as looking at me like I'm going to like totally nod and be like, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of speed, DJ, honest question. Yeah. Did you have any receivers in your college career who were faster than Rhett?
I played, so I started out at Northeast Louisiana and then I transferred to App State. When I was at Northeast Louisiana, our receiver was a guy named Marty Booker, and Marty played for the Bears.
Pretty good player.
Oh yeah, nice career.
He was a really good player. Then when I was at App State, we had a guy named Daniel Wilcox who started at H-back for the Ravens for several years. He bulked up a little bit and went there. So, yeah, they were more accomplished than Rhett. Long story short, faster, probably smarter, better looking.
Not better hair.
No, they did not. No, your hair, you won the – you won better lettuce. I'll give you that.
There you go.
I've heard that there are a couple pretty boys on the Aftermath. Mike Silver's words, not mine. So maybe, Steve, could you rank the Aftermath members in terms of attractiveness?
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. Rhett's not a host for Steve. Rhett's the host for a reason. Rhett's the host for a reason.
Hold on. This is the age of getting rid of stereotypes, okay?
No. Rhett. No, look, that's easy. Okay. And whoever disagrees with me, you're lying. Okay. It's Rhett, DJ, your boy, and then me and Mike.
I'll give Steve third. You know what, Steve? The reason I'm putting you third is because I saw the drawing to promote your new podcast, which is an incredible logo, and
it's debuting.
You look really
basically
good,
out Steve. Now. Huddle and really Flow, good. Steve and Jim Trotter, and Steve's got his arms folded, and he looks so ridiculously yoked. That I think he's got to be third.
It looks like Steve Weatherford.
Yeah, I'll take cartoon Steve over Mike Silver any day.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, you know, the long sleeve shirts do overcome. Do show up. I mean, I got a little bit of that going on now. I mean, I was an outside linebacker back.
Oh, we're not doubting it.
It's not like I'm like pencil arm.
The photos of White.
The guy. Think about the guy that's doing that. Whoever's creating that, right? Who's drawing that picture? Like, how mad would you be if they just gave you like these little pencil arms? Like, he had no choice.
Yeah. To go big on none. Arms. None.
Okay. First of all, follow up question, DJ. Did any of those receivers, like Marty Booker, who were more accomplished than Rhett, do any of them have a drink named after them at the most famous drinking establishment in their college town?
I
would say that's a negative
because
we had drive-through daiquiris in Monroe, Louisiana. So I don't know if they ever named one after Marty or not.
Because I know a lot of my friends were tripping out on that. I don't know. I thought it was just a pandemic thing, but people are getting, because Taco Bell started doing it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Louisiana was ahead of the curve on that.
Oh, they were doing it all along.
Yeah, all bets are off in Louisiana.
So Natalie, across from the Saints facility, there is a drive-through daiquiri place, and here's how they get by the open carry law. They tear off the top half of the straw wrapper and keep that on the straw that's in your daiquiri.
Intuition, baby. Intuition.
DJ and Rhett, am I lying?
No, that's it.
That's how it gets done.
New Orleans, too, for the record.
Yes.
Yeah. Rhett, what was the name of the place where they named the drink after you?
It's called Nick's. Nick's English Hut.
Nick's.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a beer in a jar at Nick's. It was great. Right.
That's right. And my jersey may or may not hang. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yes.
Come on.
I've seen that.
You know this.
Now who do you think would be more attractive, Natalie? Rhett Lewis or Rhett Kleinschmidt? Which one?
Rhett Lewis.
Yeah, that's what I figured too.
Yeah. I don't want to disagree. I'd like to think it's more like a fine wine. I didn't become Lewis until I was 26. So
you were always Lewis. It just was your middle name.
Correct. Correct. See, look, we're telling all the secrets now.
This you're giving away trade secrets, man. Can't do that. I mean,
hey, Rhett, you want to tell them about the first time we met?
I would love to tell you about the first time we met, Daniel, Jeremiah, and I. We were in Thibodaux, Louisiana, home of Nicholls State University, and also home to the annual Manning Passing Academy, one of the biggest and best like high school skills, football skills camps. And they also have a bunch of how should we say this, DJ? Outside of the college quarterbacks that go down there to be on staff, there are other assorted celebrities that also attend on staff. Is that how we want to call it? So
fair.
DJ
fair.
And I were both also on staff together that year. And we didn't know it until we were every day at the end, like the last practice is a 7-on-7. It's just kids have fun. They play a game and play like two games. And every coach there has a team, 12 or 13 kids. And so DJ and I met on the field. And I'm sitting here trying to organize how to get every one of my kids as many reps as possible. Meanwhile, DJ has one quarterback and one receiver throwing it back. I mean, like they're just throwing go balls.
Just the entire, beat the just brakes off him.
they got the two best athletes in the whole camp were on DJ's team, and he was exploiting them to no end.
Yeah. So think about this, you guys. Everybody you go to the Manning Passing Academy because you're a quarterback, right? So almost all these kids want to play quarterback. They all play quarterback for their high school teams. So I get the 7-on-17. I'm like, well, this guy can really spin it, and I've got another guy's really good athlete. So they're all like, okay, so who's going to play quarterback? He's playing quarterback. Okay, when are we going to rotate him out? No. He's playing quarterback. He's not coming out. So and Rhett and we are just pulverizing them. Rhett's trying to give everybody a chance to play quarterback, and let's try and spread the ball around. I'm like, look, I'm like drawing up plays in the dirt. Like, you three guys are just going to run this guy off. We're just going to dump it off to this other kid and let him go. Absolutely pulverizing. But I thought you might tell the story. You don't have to name the name of who the player was. I thought you were going to tell the story about our guest that we had in the evening.
Rhett,
you're gonna leave that one alone.
I don't even remember it.
Our living accommodations. Oh no! That was Charles. That was Charles.
Yeah, it was Charles. Sorry. Davis. Yeah, I was like, I wasn't there.
Yeah, you weren't in my living quarters. We had a player there, an NFL player, and me and Charles. It was like a dormitory, basically. She had like four guys, and then. We had a NFL player that was one of the counselors there with us. And so me and Charles wake up in the morning, you know, boxers just like rolling out to the little common area. And we look and see some shoes up out there that not belong to either of us, nor would they belong to anybody that played the National Football League. And we realized, let's just go back to our room.
Yep. Yep, there you go.
But they didn't sneak this person in a Saints jersey like
it was also not a it was a pre-COVID
Seahawks
world.
Rookie corner would do this year.
Oh gosh,
Steve was our first. I think Steve and I was our first party night. Really, the night in Pittsburgh before the 94.
The 94 AFC Championship game. Now, guys, here's the story. So, 94 AFC Championship game. It's the Steelers, Chargers. The Steelers are supposed to just beat the hell out of them. And then they go play the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Chargers, I'm sorry, DJ, but the Chargers are like the worst. That Chargers team was like the worst team to ever play in a Super Bowl. So it's about 3 days before the game. We're somewhere like the warehouse district of Pittsburgh. And, Mike, I'm with Dave O'Brien down in I was working down in Miami then.
Dave O'Brien, I believe, is fully sober now, and that is
thank goodness.
Very good thing.
Good thing. It's a good thing. He's a great guy, and I love hearing that. So, of course, this is back when we were younger.
It had a much more higher tolerance than we do now when it comes to alcohol consumption.
And I had just gotten to Sports Illustrated like a month and a half earlier. So I was like, I was very happy.
And I could not believe it. So he joins us for dinner. I'm like, okay, we'll have a couple beers. And then like 7 hours later, I'm like, I'm going home, man. I'm not going to be able to wake up tomorrow. Silver was like, dude, Natalie, you're going to love this. Dude, we're just getting started, man. I know this spot. I'm like, what do you mean you know the spot? We're in Pittsburgh. I don't know anything about Pittsburgh. I'm like, I'm going in. So I don't know what Mike did the rest of the way. However, I want to see if Mike – we did have a colleague who shall remain nameless who met a lady who was about 6'4 and was hence therefore nicknamed Sigma after Jack Sigma. which is not a compliment, and brought her to the commissioner's party.
I think we're gonna have to continue this one. My memory is a little fuzzy on that. I also remember something about, you know, Steeler fans were acting the night before the game like it was over, like they had it won. They were,
everybody was.
It's kind of like Cal fans. They were pre-celebrating. Now with Cal, it's we always win Friday night because in the event that we don't win Saturday, we want to have a notch under our belt. So we always win.
I don't know. Try going to Cal with like the top CS department.
Yeah,
like,
okay. Well, that's how we used to. So, so I just remember the Steeler fans were just basically celebrating on the streets, and somebody had the idea to kind of mutter under our breath like, "Oh, that's terrible about Woodson. He hurt his knee," and
try to spread
a rumor that Rod Woodson had, you know, done something really bad. And of course that escalated to the point where we were, you know, having mock arguments about whether Rod Woodson was, which hospital he was in and whether, you know, he was ever going to be able to walk again. And, you know, so I feel like for about 100 Steeler fans, you know, pre-internet and social media, they had to like wake up in a sweat and check the news to make sure that Rod Woodson wasn't actually hurt.
And then Tony Martin roast Tim McKier at the end of the game to shut it down. And Stan Humphries and Alfred Papunu.
Alfred Papunu
in the game, go to the Super Bowl and get destroyed by the Niners, who scored in their first five possessions.
And DJ, the game came down to Neil O'Donnell throwing to try to win it to Barry Foster in the back of the end zone.
I remember.
A telegraphed pass and a player named Dennis Gibson, an inside linebacker, leaned over Barry Foster and tipped it away heroically.
And to bring it all full circle, the quarterback for the Chargers, Stan Humphries, who went to Northeast Louisiana.
Sure did.
That's how they got me to go there. They used Stan Humphries. Said, look, if you come here at Northeast Louisiana, their quarterbacks that they had had previously come through there, Stan Humphries, Bubby Brister, and Doug Peterson. So for kind of a smaller Division I independent, you know, where you go get your brains beat in by the SEC, they produced a lot of quarterbacks. So that was their whole pitch to me. It was like, San Diego kid, we'll pitch him on Stan Humphries. The only time Stan Humphries has ever been used for an athlete.
I spent 4 days with Bubby Brister when it looked like he was going to be the heir apparent to Elway in Denver, and his wife Bonnie Brister, and the water boy had just come out, and they're both from – you know, very rural part of Louisiana. So, of course, as we're just hanging out for days, I kept, you know, every cliche in the movie. I'm like, oh, did you ever eat Nutri-Rat? And I tried everything, and they were getting sick of it. And finally, Bubby and Bonnie said, okay, listen, there is one thing that from that movie that's not exaggerated. The drunken cheerleaders. And they started telling stories about high school cheerleading where, you know, cheerleaders would fall down and pass out on the field. So I do respect the drunken cheerleaders.
Yeah, Bubby's a character, man.
Bubby's been a veteran of the Manning Passing Academy.
Love him. Hey, Rhett, I'm going to say one more Bubby thing, and then I'm going to remind you that like when there's an uncomfortable silence, you're the host. So feel free to get us back on track in those moments.
I am off.
I gave that to Natalie.
Yeah, and Natalie is for sure running the show.
Well, Natalie actually got to meet Rhett 2 years ago when she doing an internship in Washington, D.C. And we blew into town for, was it, I was there for Ravens. You might have been there for the Washington football team.
Yeah, no. I mean, all my friends were there for the free drinks, and it worked out for everyone.
We went to an historic restaurant, the Old Ebbets Grill.
One of my go-tos every time I'm back in D.C. I got to go there. That's a great, great old place. A bit of trivia for you. You know, at one point, it did more nightly business than any restaurant in America. Just that's a little tidbit for you.
And since then,
the chicken wing place where Lou Williams tends to frequent has surpassed that place.
I bet.
He went for the wings. There was an NBA player who left the bubble, you know, which is a big deal. You got to test back in, and was spotted getting some chicken wings at a place where also
guys gotta eat.
There may be women who undress for dollar bills and such, but you know, guy's got to eat. Good chicken
He's
wings.
Got to eat.
Rhett met Natalie there. That's how Steve and I met. And before Rhett goes, because we need you as a historian.
Yes, please.
Our hashtag no promo, which is really describes everything about our show. Weish, how did that start and how did it catch on?
Well, I mean, it basically started when, first off, we got the ratings and we saw that we were pretty much
kicking
butt. I'm not going to disparage anything else, yes, but doing quite well. And I was like, hey, you know, can we get a little love? Because we're doing okay. Like, people are watching the show with no promotion. We're on in the middle of the day when students are at school and parents are home, but somehow we're still outrating other programming. And they were like, you're funny. And I was like, so I was kind of like, you know what's funny? Hashtag no promo.
I'll tell you
and
what else is
I mean,
funny.
That's been around for like 4 or 5 years now, and we still have hashtag no promo.
Well, I'll tell you what else is funny. Turns out we have a quite accomplished broadcaster as our number one fan.
That's true.
I mean, for the last 2 years, we have been graced with Al's presence. And does he have a way of just like lighting up the room? I mean, talk about it. You know, he's Natalie, if you think your dad has good stories, I don't know if you do or not, but, you know, he has.
He does.
Don't answer that question.
Yeah, he has stories. We'll leave it at that. But
loud stories.
Al Michaels has phenomenal stories, some of which he can tell on television.
And he also may be the greatest of all time, or he's on the very short list,
and
right?
And he's been on the show, right? A couple times.
Well, how did it happen, Steve? We found out he was a fan. What happened?
DJ.
So here's,
right? Or no. You. It was you, Steve.
No. Yeah, so I'm at Rams practice one day, and the Rams are playing on Sunday night. So it was a Friday, and he comes up to me. He's like, Steve, man, I just love your show. That show, he's like, I know, we get on the plane, we fly out Monday morning. I try to make sure to schedule my flight so I can get back and watch the aftermath. I think you guys are so – and I'm like, I think you guys are so informative. You guys are fun, but you guys deliver so much information in a way that nobody else does. It's fresh. So I'm like, okay. So I go and write an email. And I asked Al that day at Rams practice, like, would you come on? He was like, hell yeah. I was like, would you come on this Monday? He was like, yeah. He's like, I'd be flattered. He's like, I'd be flattered. And I think they actually had a West Coast. Yeah, so I think the Rams might have been playing at home, and he lives in L.A. So he could come, and he was in, and he was great. And our ratings.
He didn't want to leave.
That might have skewed the curve, because I think our ratings that day were close to like 750,000, whatever it was.
Guys, he came in with
750 million. He's just trying to downplay.
Yeah.
But what's amazing is that last year, so we end up social distancing before our time, and we're in the four box all year, which, by the way, when we learned how to do the fake handoffs through the squares, that was really fun of the pen.
Why is that important?
So what happened was, at the end of the year, it was the day, Black Monday, the day that the coaches, although in this year it was more like White Monday. It was
well said. Thank you.
The coaches get fired, and it's special programming. But for the last few years, that's also been an Aftermath brand. So they decided they would actually pay for me to fly down and DJ to drive up, and we would all be at the same table, and we got Al to come back, and as if he could read minds, because I know we didn't prep him, the first thing he says when he sits down is, you know what's great? We're here together in person. Yes. And as a fan of the show, he starts talking about how much better it is when we're all at the table, and then he says, I mean, NFL Network, come on, you can afford it.
Yeah.
And we're all just kind of backing up in our chairs, like, hey, I didn't plan it, but we'll take it.
But still no promo. It still really hasn't gotten promoted.
Correct. We only get promoted by Al Michaels.
And this podcast. That's why we're doing it.
That's exactly right.
And our podcast. Speaking of promotion, so DJ has a very, very popular podcast called Move the Sticks. DJ, this is your chance to promote what's going on with Move the Sticks.
But hold on, DJ. Before you do that, let me just say that I have also forced my way into the Move the Sticks empire.
Oh, yeah.
I am an ancillary member of the cast, and it's another one of my Monday during the season duties, which I enjoy very much. We tape the Monday 10 Takeaway podcast, and I'll let DJ go into detail on it. But I wanted to say that I love it, and it's a great way to kind of, it's like a preview or a primer for Aftermath, depending on when it gets posted. So it's like a double dose. You got to check out Monday Move the Sticks, and then you check out Monday Aftermath, and you're set for the week. But with that, I do have to leave. So
last thing before you leave, Rhett, you did have a podcast, and could you tell the story of my appearance on your podcast?
It was in your underwear with Jeff while Jeff Darlington was laying in the bed that you guys had shared all week at the Super Bowl.
Ew.
Yeah.
It was. I just remember Rhett saying, "Hey, I got to come over so you can record my podcast." I didn't really get what that meant.
He didn't understand.
And he shows up with a microphone, and I'm like, still in my boxers, and I'm like, "Well, is it just audio?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, I guess I'll just do it in my underwear." Yeah. So
it was a good time, and that podcast is now officially retired. So I have given that I passed that torch on to all of you.
All right. Well, you can leave now, but just remember, you can leave now, but starting Monday, September 14th, and every Monday thereafter, for what, 22 weeks?
Yeah.
You cannot leave because
that's
you are our quarterback.
I am in. But love you guys, Natalie. Thanks for having me on. And we'll catch up with you guys soon.
Yeah, love you, Rhett. Hug up that beautiful family and have a nice pour tonight, my brother.
Thanks, brother.
All right, and we're going to keep Steve and DJ. Steve, because he is the OG, and DJ, because he owes us a few minutes from when he was gardening.
I literally was. We had just landscaped the backyard. And so when they put in the new sod, they always, you like to let it grow before they cut it. So today was the cutting day. And this is a sign where you've gotten really old. When I'm like, I can't, have they got here yet? Like, I asked my wife, have they got here yet? No, they're not here yet. Okay. Like, oh, they just cut it. Like, oh, I got to sprint home. I got to see what it looks like when it's cut. And then you just have that moment, that epiphany. You're like, what's going on in my world that this has got me this excited just to see fresh cut grass?
Well, I feel like we should roast Rhett because he's not here, but I actually am.
I was going to real quick before you say nice stuff, because he's joined the podcast. He's helping us on Move the Sticks every Monday. He does stuff with us at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. He's great. But I very much feel like it's Sammy. He's the Sammy Hagar. You know, like we couldn't keep David Lee Roth, and so we had to go. We had to go with Rhett.
Oh man! That's funny. I heard Right Now come on the radio today, and I'm like, no, can't listen to Van Hagar. I remember Howard Stern at one point got both David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar on the air, maybe not in the same room, but together to debate who was the better Van Halen frontman. Like, to me, that's not a debate, but Hagar gave his spiel first. He just said, hey, listen, I think, and he gave like kind of a, tried to intellectualize why he was better for like 2 minutes. And then it was Dave's turn. And I just remember Dave just goes, it's 4th and 1 at the 50-yard line at an NFL stadium. The music's blaring. It's Van Halen. Who's Van Halen, is it? And I'm like, yeah, it's David Lee Roth. You win. You win the debate.
Here's an interesting little nugget. Okay, so I have seen Van Halen three times, twice with David Lee Roth, once with Sammy Hagar.
Wow. Oh,
wow.
Like twice, you know, I just like took my little brother or something. Because, you know, I grew up in like this like very white enclave of like suburb 35 miles outside of St. Louis. And like people are like, let's go to the Sammy Hagar concert. And I was like, well, I can do that or sit here and watch nothing. And so went to the concert. It was all great, you know, whatever. And so when Sammy Hagar came, like Sammy Hagar, my high school, I went to a place called Parkway South High School, Manchester, Missouri. He was like the most popular guy, the most famous guy ever. And he's telling the story, you know, on stage with the rest of Eddie Van Halen. These guys are like, oh man, I'm telling these guys, wait till you get to St. Louis. They're going to love us. And they were like, huh? And he's like, no, I'm telling you, they're going to love us. And Eddie Van Halen was like, bro, they love us everywhere, man. Just sing the song.
That's funny.
very well done by Eddie there. But yeah, I just, you know, we talk about Jeff Darlington. I just remember this one owner's meeting in Florida where we were in a room with a bunch of NFL Network people getting ready to go out to a bar. And Jeff was lubricated and exuberant. And Dan Helley was in the room. And I think you guys know the story. I know DJ does. But he's yelling and he's like, Silver, Dan Helley is a beautiful man. He is so beautiful. Think about it. If you had to, and I'll just say, make out with one male NFL Network on-air personality, it would definitely be Dan Helley. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? And finally, he's like, who would it be? And just with no prep, I just go, no, it would be Rhett Lewis. And Helley, the best part of the story is that Helley got super angry about it. And later that night at the bar actually came up to me like 2 hours later, like, no, bro, seriously, how could you say Rhett over me? So it's just become this running joke. Every time I'm with Rhett, I just send Dan Helley a picture just to aggravate him. Because Dan Helley is beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but our
two
host.
Two of the nicest, best dudes out there.
Two of the nicest guys ever, man. Two of the nicest dudes ever.
What, Weish, your podcast is launching now. I know I will be an avid listener. Tell us what you and Jim are kind of envisioning and what, you know, what you guys have going with Huddle and Flow.
Isn't it Hustle?
Well, no, we can't. No, that's the name of the movie.
Huddle.
That is the name of the movie. So,
play on
you
words.
You told me yesterday it was Hustle.
No, I told you Huddle and you wrote it wrong.
No.
So, I probably told you wrong. I probably was scattered. My bad. Anyway, Steve, proceed.
So, Natalie, here's where the genesis of that came from. We tried a couple other titles. We really didn't like them. So Jim and I both graduated from Howard University. And we were probably, that we can think of, you know, when it comes to sports, two of the only people from historically black colleges to have their own sports podcast. So realize Hustle and Flow has three cast members. I don't know who the third is who went to Howard University, two of them being Anthony Anderson and Taraji Henson.
Wow.
So that played into it. Plus, you know, I think the Hustle and Flow kind of gives it that nice little, okay, this is going to be a little bit different. You know, Move the Sticks is a great scouting, you know, informative scouting, just great. I mean, it's just so good. And you know, you have to carve a niche in this podcast world. And, you know, the Around the NFL guys have this great international following. And so we're trying to get, of course, an NFL following. We're trying to tap an audience, which is an ethnic audience, black, brown, Polynesian, whatever, to also say, hey, we're going to have people on who look like you, who sound like you, who may think like you, but whatever, who also reflect some of the things going on in the world in the NFL. And, you know, our debut show, we've got Ron Rivera on. And let me tell you guys, we've recorded this already, and there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out of this because, you know, Ron, you guys both know Ron. He's incredibly candid. We touched on a lot of things, including some of the investigations going on with the Washington Football Club, the name change, Dwayne Haskins. And, I mean, there are some backstories here that are going to shock and rock a lot of people. I mean, if you imagine, you know, you want your show to debut with a whole lot of things that are going to make people drop their jaws and be like, okay, this is it, just from that interview alone. But we're also going to have conversations you know, again, talking about what's going on football-wise, issue-wise. We're going to recognize a lot of historically black colleges because, you know, you look at, you know, of the, I think, 320 people, 330 people in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, 35 of them came from historically black colleges. Jim's a Hall of Fame voter. So we are really going to draw, hopefully, a wide-ranging audience, but really give a lot of people who have not been heard from or who have been listened to the voice and the ear that's been missing in the podcast world.
Now, that is how you promote a podcast, because now I'm like super, super pumped to dig in. But I just have one question, and DJ, you can probably relate here. Steve, is Jim going to be like, is his persona on the podcast going to be like peppy and upbeat? Or like, is it going to be the Jim that one time, like you and I in a Hall of Fame meeting, had us so worried before a Hall of Fame show? Because look, Jim, I love Jim, but he can get a little grumpy. And Steve, remember that Hall of Fame meeting where, like, you know, we're trying to like talk about, it was like a cut down show, and he was just, you know, he was just super like negative that day in the meeting. And I'm thinking like, dude, it's a Hall of Fame show. This is like a celebration of the best ever. Like, now, fortunately, when the lights came on, he was great on TV, but he did have me a little worried.
Jim is going to be fantastic, bro. The only reason why, when you see Jim get serious, I wouldn't say grump, it's for good reason. And so I'm sure there'll be times when both of us get serious or agitated, but most of the time it's going to be fun. It's going to be informative. And, you know, both of our personalities, we're both kind of methodical type of people, but we both stand strong on a lot of things. I think we're both open-minded to a lot of things. And, you know, we'll see where this goes, depending on the guests. We're going to have entertainers on. We're going to have media people on. You know, if there's a great story, we want to figure out how did you get that story? You know, how did you work it? You know, we really want to shine a light to the public on things that just aren't heard of or seen of, even though you may know the news, like how did you get it or why was it that? And, you know, there's always different ways to tell a story, and hopefully, you know, again, we can tap that and we find listeners and viewers who are interested, because we think, again, you know, we're getting an opportunity through the NFL media to really do something different. Just like how DJ and Bucky, I mean, the niche that they've carved is just so brilliant and so smart. And, you know, they had us on the Move the Sticks podcast the other day, and just the opportunity. Like, DJ, we talked about this, and to kind of bridge this HBCU gap. So HBCU schools aren't playing this season, right? And so last year, only one player from an HBCU got drafted. So why does that give hope, or why should scouts even go, you know, how are they going to find out information on HBCUs? And Bucky did a great job, and DJ did a great job of talking about how they can do that. And DJ had some great stories on how he used to scout some of the black schools that didn't have the facilities, or who tried to funnel, like, you know, 50 former players into the workout to try to get them looks. And so – you know, I think in working in harmony with our colleagues like DJ and Bucky, and knowing the things that we do, I just, you know, I really think there's room for us in the podcast world. And you know,
Steve,
look,
can I give you one recommendation, Steve, for the pod, just selfishly, because I think it would be a great opportunity. Is you need to try and work in get. Personnel guys, I know coaches, you know, getting assistant coaches during the year can be tricky, but to get minority candidates, future GM candidates,
yes,
to come on the pod and introduce the JoJo Woodens to some of the people out there that don't know how good some of these guys are. Because we talk about this every year when we do our Black Monday show that we're all a part of, you know, like, it's depressing. You know, we need some more candidates. We need to get more opportunities. And their guys are out there. So I think that your podcast can be a great outlet to kind of introduce the league and kind of the world to some of these rising stars that need to get some shine here.
Well, DJ, that'll be part of it, but not just our podcast, your podcast. Look, we're hoping to get a Terry Fontenot. Yep.
We're gonna do it on our podcast too.
Great. I mean, look, there's an opportunity.
We'll race you.
We will make a podcast pact right here. And in fact, I'm gonna put Rhett in the pact. He's gonna help DJ on his podcast handle that too.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I remember the year like Rand Carthon was in between jobs one year.
Right.
And so he came on. He was awesome, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just we need more outlets where we can give people a chance to get to know some of these guys, man.
And speaking of jobs, your former coworker and ours, Mike Mayock, ended up getting plucked as the GM of the Raiders. And, you know, I'm sure there are teams that have reached out to you about various, you know, hey, would you ever come back into scouting? You know, blah, blah, blah.
And if you did ever become a GM, do you think that you would be uptight toward Mike Silver like Mayock? Or
my first question. My first move would be to hire. I would hire Natalie as my PR head, and then I just tell her like, "Look, here's the thing. Like, you've got all your regular dudes. You just have to deal with your dad. So if you just handle your dad, and then that's what I'm paying you for, and then we're rocking and rolling."
I think Mayock wishes he hired Lee, his daughter, as his PR head to deal with me, because
we should have them on the podcast.
Yeah, Lee is the only Mayock who likes dealing with me now that he is the Raider GM.
I think you guys need to get that. That fits the podcast perfectly.
Yeah.
Father, daughter. I mean, you have to do that. Let's air all this. Let's air all this out. Let's have a good discussion.
Yeah, we should air it out. It'd be good. We could talk about how when there was an edict at the Raiders that if anyone leaked information, that their heads would roll. And then I responded by reporting the exact mock draft that they had conducted at their facility that day and decided not to put who they took when, because I didn't want to actually blow up Mike's draft. I just wanted to let him know that I was out there. And then after they in fact drafted Cleveland Farrell, I noted that they had taken him in the mock draft, but at 13 on a trade down, not as high as they took him. So I'm sure Mike was super thrilled after that.
Hey, Silver, you had all the info, man.
I just take it as a competitive thing. And you can remember that, DJ, when you're running a team, like, you know, if you really get restrictive, I'm going to compete to try to find out what's actually.
I would have to leave the aftermath to go to one of those gigs. I got too good, man.
Yeah, well, we don't ever want you to leave, and we are super, super pumped. I guess before we go, Steve, are there any running jokes that you've enjoyed over the years or that you think, come up? I mean, you know, I'm
– Okay, Natalie, wait. No, Natalie, I'm going to bring you into this.
Okay.
Because DJ will co-sign on this. How many times has your father brought up Hugh Jackson's name just on the random?
Wait, I was going to ask if he went to Thanksgiving. Did he come to Thanksgiving this last year?
There is a Hugh Jackson Natalie story.
Yeah, so and Jeff Darlington and Taylor
Bisciotti was there.
Who else was there? Some of Jared Goff's high school friends. We were all drinking before.
This is right after Hugh got fired. He came out to L.A. Yeah. And decided he was just going to
drink with us.
He was going to day drink. And Natalie and I and some college friends were on our way to the Cal-USC game that night.
So we were just preparing ourselves. And that is when this is the night that the famous sangria picture was taken. And
I think you took it, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I took it. I staged it. I told them, I just want you both to look as enamored with each other as possible. But I have to say, it seemed pretty natural for you guys. Like, I didn't really have to direct.
I mean, if loving each other is wrong, we don't want to be right. So, Hugh Jackson, I think I'm proudest of
I didn't think that was a joke that Hugh, like... Is Hugh Jackson a joke for other people?
No, it's not a joke. We all love you. I love you. I respect you.
It's just that I stick up for him a lot.
Yeah.
And Mike
seems like he gets fucked. but
well, separate podcast. But I would just say this: I'm proudest of when Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky will look like he's about to win a game and then throw an interception or something. I will usually blurt out, "Mitch, don't kill my vibe," which
yes, there's that.
It's a very clunky white guy thing to do, yeah. But I feel like that works.
I'm trying to think. There are probably a couple other references.
Oh, the Jameis Winston eat the W is a go-to,
eat
right?
Eat the W is his number one. Yeah.
I feel, DJ, like because I know you've seen this video, that when the Seahawks are mentioned this year, it's going to be awfully hard not to talk about Mr. Unlimited.
Oh, stop. That was the fail of all time. That was a zero.
You guys,
that was an inside moment. Voice post.
You guys see any material? I mean, I feel like we'll have some. You know, Kirk Cousins is kind of trying to make it easy for us today. Today, Kirk Cousins was quoted as saying that he doesn't really have any fear of COVID, and quote, "If I die, I die."
Sounds kind of like Vic Fangio.
No comment. That's enough.
Natalie sharing private text. Natalie unleashing private text message.
It's a recorded podcast. We can cut it out.
I think we might have to keep it. All I know is, you know, when I heard about a certain high-profile player on a team maybe coached by the person you just mentioned contracting COVID, I decided not to send a text in response to our previous text chain because I thought that would be a little over the top on the, you know, just, you don't want to just poke a wound.
Yeah.
I've given you the first two innings of this Padre game, but I mean, I have to.
Yeah, I think, okay. So
we haven't even scored a run yet.
Yeah. And I'll leave it like this. DJ said, they asked him in our virtual NFL media summit, they said, "Hey, DJ, why aren't you wearing a Padre shirt?" And what was your answer?
My answer was, I was planning on wearing a Padre shirt until a coworker informed me that me talking about the Padres was venturing into silver talking about Cal land in terms of being annoying. So I said, I will not wear the Padre shirt then, because that is a line I do not want to cross.
Was the coworker formerly named Kleinschmidt?
No, actually, it was, I think it might've been Marvel. I think it might've been Marvel. Yeah, I have to go back and look at it. It was friendly fire, Silver. It was very much friendly fire.
That's fair. Well, listen, speaking of friendly, we are going to be joined by hundreds of millions of friends on Mondays, every Monday, starting this upcoming Monday, September 14th, noon to 3 Pacific, 3 to 6 Eastern, Daniel Jeremiah, Steve Weish, me, Mike Silver, and Rhett Lewis will tell you not just what happened, but
the how
along the why.
And why. All right.
Hashtag no promo.
No promo. We love you. Thank you guys so much.